So, Ben, we just had you on Geek History Lesson. We talked about the Teen Titans, but now I want to go behind the curtain a little bit. I want to find out about you. How did you get into writing? What led you down the road to becoming the writer that you are?
I never dreamed of being a writer when growing up. I actually wanted to be an archaeologist, specifically Indiana Jones.
That's what I was just about to ask. Was it Indiana Jones that did that?
That had a big influence on me, but so did my parents. My parents are obsessive rock hounds, and almost every single weekend, as weird as this sounds, we blazed off into the high desert of Central Oregon. And, my dad would have these geologic survey maps out, and the back of the pickup would be full of trowels and pickaxes and shovels and whisk brooms. And we would be seeking out, fossils and geodes and petrified wood. And to this day, my parents' home sparkles from every corner. Every single shelf, every windowsill is packed with some bit of treasure that they've unearthed. So I ended up, growing up with that influence, I ended up doing, a summer of digs with the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. I ended up doing a dig with the University of Oregon. And somewhere around that time, I, recognized that there was no lost Ark of the Covenant waiting out there for me, that there were no Nazis to do battle with, that there certainly were not any beautiful women. There was, just snakes. That was the only part of the Indiana Jones mythology that held true. There were lots of snakes. And anyways, I mean, I grew up an obsessive reader, and as I was sort of struggling to figure out what to do with my life, I retreated to the woods. And this was about freshman year. I declared an archaeology, anthropology major. Freshman year, all my buddies are going off to New York for these fancy internships, and I instead retreated to the wilderness. I went to work at Glacier National Park in Montana, and I was the gardener there, which I know sounds like a weird thing to be at a national park, but I was the gardener at Many Glacier Lodge. And that summer, I was keeping a journal for the first time, and writing down a lot of the things that, the adventures that I was getting up to. And I was also writing a lot of poems and love letters to a waitress who worked at the Many Glacier Lodge.
Oh.
And she said, one night when we were watching the sun set over the Rocky Mountains, she said, "You should be a writer." And I said, "Okay." And, it was good career advice. I ended up marrying her as well.
Oh, wow. It's the same lady. All right.
And that next semester when I returned to college, I took my first creative writing workshop. I started to really hammer the keyboard hard. And I started off as a literary fiction writer, which I go back with Scott Snyder before he was the Batman. And, Scott and I sort of started off in the same way. We both went to graduate programs in creative writing. We both published these books of short stories, like sort of snobby literary short stories. Mm-hmm. And then leapt into more genre infused fiction from there and comics from there. So, I started off really in love with the short story and really in love with, writers like James Baldwin and Leslie Silko and Flannery O'Connor and Raymond Carver and Annie Proulx. And, I don't know, I came to this point a little bit later on because I was being told in every one of these workshops that I was taking, you cannot write genre fiction. And I came to this point where I realized that I was kind of getting bored. As much as I love literary fiction and love three dimensionality of the characters, and I love the glowing metaphors, and I love the subterranean themes, I love the artistry of it all, that I was really missing the kind of stories that I loved when growing up. And I grew up, as I said, an obsessive reader, but an obsessive reader of genre fiction. I read Conan books. I read all the Forgotten Realms and Dragonlance books. I read Westerns by Zane Grey and Louis L'Amour. I read horror novels by Anne Rice and Shirley Jackson and Stephen King and Peter Straub. So, I started to get to that point a little bit later on where I really, I took the tools I learned from literary fiction and started to apply them to that genre prism, and write something that was sort of hybridized, write something that was neither fish nor fowl, write something that was sort of more like what Cormac McCarthy does or what Margaret Atwood does, you know, writing something that's both artfully told and compulsively readable.
And is that what led you to your one of your first novels, or did that lead into a specific novel?
Yeah, you know, I published two books of short stories, and while I was doing that, I was trying to write novels and failing. And every writer you'll meet has three or four novels in the drawer, and they had to write those books, you know, to get to the book that was published, the book that was less sucky than the others. And one of the things that happened to me was I had to teach a novel writing course. So I was a professor for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not anymore, but I read full time, but I was a professor and I had to teach this novel writing course. And it put the fear of God in me because I hadn't published a novel. So I felt like a fraud. And what I did was I took the same approach then that I had taken to short stories early on. So early on, I had, you know, what I would do is I felt like, oh, okay, I'm struggling with this, you know, whatever this was. So I'm going to find a writer who's really good at it, and I'm going to read their fiction and try to cull from it what I can. So, for instance, I felt like I was struggling with structure in grad school. So I took a story writer, Flannery O'Connor, who I thought was really great with structure, and I read one of her stories like five or six times to emotionally disengage myself from it, but to feel like I knew it in and out. And then I mapped out that story, paragraph by paragraph by paragraph. And then I wrote another story based on that skeleton that bore no resemblance to the original as an exercise. And I did that three or four times and I just got it. I figured out structure for short fiction. I hadn't done that with novels for whatever reason. So when I had to teach that novel writing course, I spent the entire summer reading all these novels that I admired and rereading them and rereading them and rereading them and then mapping them out in these yellow legal tablets so that I figured out their component parts, so that I figured out what was underneath the hood. And that was when I don't think it's any coincidence that soon thereafter I published my first novel, which is The Wilding. And it's kind of a wilderness thriller in the tradition of Deliverance.
Now, when that first book came out, how did it do? Did it lead to your instant fame, or were you disappointed? But like, I'm always curious about, you know, the first thing that somebody puts out in the world in their medium. How was it received?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no such, use the word famous before. There's no such thing as a famous writer, right?
Yeah.
Beyonce is famous.
Well, maybe beyond Stephen King, you know.
Stephen King's the only one who can't shop for his own groceries because he'll get recognized. It was well received. I had some film interest, sold some copies, but that wasn't my breakout book. My breakout book was the next book. So I had three books at that point. I had The Language of Elk, I had Refresh, Refresh, they were short story collections, then I had The Wilding, that was my first novel. But then I put together, you know, and again, this ties back to Snyder. Snyder, during this time, was starting to break into comics. And I was like, dude, that sounds amazing, I want to do this. So he shared a few pitches with me, and, you know, I ended up meeting up with Mark Doyle and had the DC offices in New York, and I put together this massive pitch for a Vertigo series I hoped to write, and it was called Red Moon. And it got rejected. And my agent said, you know, this is a really cool idea. Why don't you write it as a novel instead? And so I did. And that was my breakout book. Red Moon was the big moment for me when I was, you know, I started to step away from teaching after that because I was able to support myself at the keyboard.
That's nice. And so Scott Snyder, again, he's the person who lifted the curtain and let you into DC Comics.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's my fairy godmother. It was a situation where, you know, here I was teaching Scott's stories, those short stories from Voodoo Heart, his first collection in my classes. And Scott was teaching at the time as well. And he was teaching my stories from my collection, Refresh, Refresh. So we were just, you know, on the phone and emailing back and forth just as like literary nerds. And then when, you know, he published that one bit in a short story anthology. The anthology is called Who Will Save Us Now? And he did a reading with the other authors in that anthology at a Barnes & Noble in New York. And, you know, some DC and Marvel editors were there. And they came up to all the authors afterwards and they're like, hey, you guys should pitch us some stuff if you like comic books so much. And Scott was like, okay. And he did. And that's when he started to edge his way into the business. And that's when what he was telling me about. He's like, man, I just went to this event and it was amazing. I met these DC guys and anyways, that's when it started to be on my radar. It just never occurred to me that I could write comic books. I mean, I was a total comic book nerd growing up, but it just wasn't on my radar. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it never occurred to me either that I could be a novelist. And after I pitched Red Moon, it's not like the door opened. I kept pitching and kept pitching and kept pitching. And the thing I was doing that was pretty stupid was I was pitching original series to Vertigo. And they're like, you have no track record. We're not going to give you your own original series. You have no track record in comics. So finally I was like, oh yeah, I'll actually pitch some existing characters instead. And, Doyle moved over to Batman. It wasn't until it was the fall of 2014 when I had my first comic appearance. I got stupidly lucky in that it was Batman. It's Detective Comics issues 35 and 36. I was partnered up with JP Leone on art, and that was my debut. So, I can't believe how fortunate I was to have that opportunity. And that opened the door for everything that came after that.
I also want to go back a little bit. I love that you said the idea that you took some novels and you broke them down beat by beat by beat and figured it out, because I've heard that from a lot of people, and just to anybody listening, because I discovered that idea because Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club, he said several times in interviews that Fight Club is his version of The Great Gatsby. That he did that with The Great Gatsby and then rewrote it and it became Fight Club. And you're just like, wow, yeah. So like for anybody out there writing, like that's such an easy way to do it, is that, like, to look at the people that you really admire and do that. Now, Ben, I want to ask you as kind of our final question. Do you have a dream gig or are you living it? Like, if a genie showed up and be like, here's your dream writing gig, what would it be?
Oh man, that's hard. I feel so lucky every day to be doing what I'm doing. But of course I pine for other things. I've been trying to break into Hollywood for some time and I've sold several shows and several film projects, but nothing's actually made it to the screen. So, I have my dreams in that arena. In comics, of course I want Batman. Who doesn't want Batman? There are several Marvel properties I have my eyes on as well, including Wolverine and Punisher. For me, I think that my ideal is to be able to continue to support my family doing this, and to be able to play with my imaginary friends all day and get paid for it, because, I do this for free. So it feels like I am in a kind of dream come true scenario. But I guess if I'm going to track my career, like mark my career off of anyone who I admire, it's Neil Gaiman. And I love the way that he straddles all these different mediums. And, I work as a novelist. I write essays and articles for magazines. I write comics. I work in, screenwriting. I'm a WGA Guild member. And, as long to be able to play in all these different worlds, that's my ideal.
Awesome. Well, Ben, thank you so much again for letting us pull back the curtain and talk to you a little bit more. Please tell us about your new book that's coming out and where everybody can buy it.
Yeah, I have a novel coming out this August 1st, and it is called The Dark Net. It's a cyber thriller. I guess you could say the elevator pitch is it's, maybe a literary version of Black Mirror, something like The Matrix meets The Exorcist. And I put a lot of research into this. I visited the Google campus. I visited the Apple campus. I spoke to people in cybersecurity. I spoke to hackers. So I hope people get swept away by it and, get the pants scared off them by it. That is published, again, by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt this August. And you can find it in any bookstore or online.
And then, of course, everybody out there, don't forget Teen Titans and Green Arrow, published by DC Comics, also written by the amazing Ben Percy. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.